Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your guest. I'm actually not guest. I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. And I have actually two amazing guests tonight. It will be Dr. Dennis Greger and Michelle Sabo. Are you folks online?
Yes, hi, Magdalena.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate from being here. And I would just kind of give a little intro about you folks, what will be tonight on the show. And actually, look, like I said, I really wanted to welcome you to the Conscious Thought with Leo, which is a bi-weekly show, which is dedicated actually for our personal growth, global transformation, and awakening humanity. And folks, you are perfectly matching to that show. This show will be tonight, the topic, Voice Across the Veil, and the largest afterlifedata.com research project. And the co-organizer, actually co-creator of that, the projects are Dr. Dennis Greger and Michelle Sabo. Welcome, folks.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, okay, let me bombard you immediately with questions. And my question would be to you folks is that, what made you to create this incredible data information, which is pretty amazing to me? I have to tell you, this topic is so needed. So many people are looking for, and I'm glad you're actually creating this platform for people. So what was the motivation beyond?
Well, you know, several years ago, Dennis and I were looking all around the internet and we were doing our own research.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, we're going back to the early 2000s, right, Dennis?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you collect information and you collect information. And then, you know, he started speaking with the creators of Afterlife 101, which is actually where we started with Afterlife Data.
Uh-huh.
And using the information that they had channeled through their sources, we said, you know, this is all great information and everything, but how does this compare to what everybody else says out there about
mm-hmm.
the afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is this in alignment with what other people say? So we started looking at it and we started comparing information and taking notes. And, you know, that, of course, became a database of information because that's Dennis's forte when it comes to information and, you know, collecting all this type of data. And then we started comparing it and correlating the information. And we were like, you know, this is a website. This, you know, we can share this information with people. And it really, you know, what you said earlier, that it really is needed. So that
yes, yes. And you know what? I would really like, I didn't do that. I would really actually like you guys to give you background so people will get actually, you know, your background. It's matching what you're doing.
Sure. Well,
yeah, I read about a little about you guys. So,
well, you know, it's interesting because we actually have, a couple of different backgrounds. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
a designer as well as a writer. You know, I've done a number of different things. And over the last several years, I've worked much more within energy areas. I'm a Reiki master teacher. And have become very, very interested in a very different place in my life. You know, I created websites for a living previously, and that was my only thing that I really was doing, you know, back in the 90s when the internet was coming up. And
mm-hmm.
I'll let Dennis speak about his background a little bit, too.
Well, I've been looking at esoteric information all my life, so it was a natural progression to get into this area. And this area is particularly important. I mean, what we did was we compiled historical information going back 150 years, comparing different sources that were well-respected, you know, writers and channelers going, you know, Alan Kardec, Jane Roberts, Michael Newton. And we took this information about specific topic areas that were referred to on Afterlife 101, and then that's what we did the correlation. And it comes out to about a 94-95% agreement across all these sources. And Voices Across the Veil actually is a result of a number of people from around the world requesting that we recommend mediums to them so that they could go and get personal confirmation or get in contact or communicate with loved ones that they had, because they felt that afterlife data gave them a comfort level of knowing that the afterlife reality exists. But, you know, there's nothing better than personal confirmation. But
absolutely. Yes, totally. I agree with that.
We're not familiar with mediums from all around the world. So this year, or this past year, we decided we needed to do something to respond to these requests. And so Voices Across the Veil became a project of afterlife data by providing and, you know, recruiting world-class mediums to provide sessions, group sessions to people from around the world. Basically, all you need is an internet connection. And it's a video conferencing so that the medium sees the people on their screen and all the people on the screen see the medium. And the medium, you know, can tell where the energies are coming from. And we've had some quite amazing sessions. And because these mediums are so good at what they do, you know, many of them are booked up sometimes years in advance. And they have basically worked us into their schedule to become part of this project. And so we're really honored to have them and to provide this kind of service because, again, you know, personal confirmation, being able to hear from somebody that you knew when they lived on Earth and getting evidential information from a medium is quite impactful. And we've had some very emotional sessions of information coming through. And I think it's been a great project to do, and we're going to continue doing it. We're right now in the process of actually looking for non-English speaking mediums so that provide, you know, within the local language, the ability for people to be able to call in and be part of the session. It's an hour-long session. It does cost, the range is from $40 to $65 per person per session, so which is still quite low, considering some mediums can charge as much as over $1,000 for a single hour. So,
you know, well, I'm actually right now going into a challenging question. Okay, my question would be is that, you know, if somebody's skeptical about, you know, am I really, you know, getting connected to my loved ones or not, how do we recognize are we really talking to our loved ones on the other side? How would you kind of, you know, help somebody to understand who is actually doubting the question?
Well, we found that, you know, the mediums we have a long history of providing what's called evidential communications. Mm-hmm. So they can provide information that, in many cases, not even the sitter knows about. And sometimes they have to go back and look it up and then confirm that the information that came through the medium was actually true. And so somebody that's skeptical, again, you know, it's the quality of the information coming through. I mean, if somebody's, you know, there are these hard-nosed skeptics out there that you can materialize a ghost in front of their eyes and they still wouldn't believe it. You know, so, you know, all we're saying is, you know, have an open mind, go in there with the idea of seeing what happens, and then take the information, and if it doesn't resonate right away, then look it up and either confirm whether it's true or not true. And again, some of the information that's come through has been really mind-blowing. So,
Of this is very, very specific information. Things that, first of all, the medium would not be able to look up, even if they knew, if they knew who the sitter was. Our mediums are not aware of who the people are that are coming on to each session. We do not send them the information prior to the session. We just tell them how many people will be in the session, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So they are going in there, you know, completely with absolutely no knowledge of these people. Now, right, there are some people who have had some sessions with these mediums in the past and are coming back. But what happens then is the medium generally picks up on new information and will give that information to them.
But obviously,
so that, the information isn't information that's playing off of old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, people that come back obviously trust the information that they received originally, or they wouldn't be coming back. So, that's just for them. I mean, for them, it's a no-brainer. They already know. For those that don't know, though, this is a perfect venue to test it out. To find out.
Well, exactly. This is a very good word, testing it out. Because, you know, for me, this is nothing new, because I had actually a situation in 1986. I lost actually a very close loved one. And I just could not grasp the concept that the person was gone. And I like, to talk about, how this consistency in life after death information is across culturally, that, not every culture talks about this kind of stuff. And this is why I think this is phenomenal that you folks, you are doing this, because people are hungry. People are getting open to talk about this kind of, information.
Yeah. The other thing, Magdalena, is that, death is a very uncomfortable conversation.
Thank you. Yes.
And, I think one of the things that we are really trying to say to people with the work that we do is that, yes, you do lose someone, and yes, it's very difficult, it's very sad, but to realize that they really do exist beyond this physical world is so incredibly comforting. We've had sessions with people where, they're just so completely distraught because of what's happened, with their loved ones. Maybe it was a suicide or, a horrible accident or whatever. And the information that comes through is information that is so specific to those situations that it is complete. You can't deny that it is coming through and talking about this with you. It is just that specific.
Exactly. The reason why I'm kind of pointing this out, because this subject is actually, because it's so invisible. So we really rely on, on trust of the information. And a lot of the time people think if I don't see something, doesn't exist.
Right. Well, like I always said, there's an awful lot of things that we were not able to measure scientifically even just 100 years ago. But
exactly.
That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because now all of a sudden we can measure things, right? The details of the human body, for example. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you can go through this back in time. And, you can see how the progression of things that allow us to measure things that were unseen before all of a sudden made them become very real, right? So who's to say that what we're doing right now with mediums, with their incredible abilities, is not, we may be able to measure that very specifically in the next, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, whatever it is. Right now, we have mediums to fly on. But just because you can't see something with what you know right now does not mean that it does not exist.
But also, I think that the perception of the human consciousness, how the human consciousness is open to receive the information, or it's not capable to receive because it's a new information, that's also, playing a role here. And this is why I would like to kind of ask, This afterlife data, what kind of relationship has on the consciousness or impact on the consciousness of people who are, reading that, and on the individual soul? How is that opening them? I mean, I'm sure you guys are seeing the difference when people start to kind of trust this information and changes what is happening in them.
I think there is a huge change for some people. We get communications from people through the website on a regular basis where they have told us that, either something they've read or the session that they had with Voices Across the Veil, you know, something somehow connected with them, and it has literally changed things completely around for them. Do you want to say something?
Or they're even, I mean, we just got one the other day where clearly there were signals or information coming through. She had just lost her husband and found confirmation of this kind of phenomena, either through dreams or through electrical manipulations or malfunctions. I mean, when souls want to communicate back to people on Earth, they have a number of different ways in which they can do that, through various signs and symbols and that. And, you know, looking on our site, she was able to confirm that, you know, some of the phenomena that she was experiencing, others have experienced. And so she wasn't going crazy, or she wasn't, you know, imagining things.
That's interesting that you're sharing that, because like I said, my father passed 2 years ago. And when I was in Europe visiting my mom, the radio went on in middle of the night.
Sure.
The alarm went on without anything. It's like, oh my gosh, yes, I totally agree with that.
I mean, you know, even with evoked voice potential, I mean, you know, spirits are using technology now to come through on radios, televisions, computers, telephones, you know, and even to the point where people are starting to have dialogues. There's I'm trying to remember his name. This guy out in Ireland, I believe. Uh-huh. No, the guy in Italy, too. But in Ireland, he's been speaking with his wife for the last 8 years via radio and actually having, through a tape deck, actually, because he asks questions and she leaves messages on the tape.
Wow, and it's just phenomenal.
They meet at regular times. You know, so, yeah, you know, this is happening all over. I mean, there's a change in consciousness going on right now that has been predicted by many over the last 100-150 years that is starting to open up these possibilities. You know, and you're finding more and more of this coming out. And now with the internet, it's spreading far and wide.
Well, I think this is why it's so phenomenal, you know, the topic of things, information is through a voice across the veil. Yeah, because the veil is getting thinner and thinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much, you know, fitting that what you were just saying about.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we're doing is providing like a first step to personal conscious freedom. And, you know, right now, the way the world is, with everything that's going on, and with the loss of religion in terms of having any meaning in people's lives, and the fact that science has been so materialistic over the last 300 years and almost even denying the possibility of a God or any type of creator, it's caused a lot of doubt and uncertainty in people. And you know, you can't keep consciousness down. It will rise up and start looking for other forums to be able to display its existence. And I think that's what's going on now. And so, yeah, I think the veil is thinning because, you know, it's getting to a very critical stage right now. And so we can go many different ways. And, you know, one of the ways would be to explore more of our consciousness. And I think that's a possibility. Of course, things could turn out badly as well. So I think
absolutely. This is something I would really like you to kind of spend a little extra time on it.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, this is a result of that blog I wrote on spiritual networks where I utilized information from Jane Roberts' channeling of Seth. And for those who are unfamiliar with Seth, Seth is a non-physical entity that had incarnated on Earth many times, but has gone beyond the Earth plane in terms of incarnations, and mentioned that he came through in the 60s, from like 63 to 83, through Jane Roberts, and 99% of the information is very positive in terms of what humans can do to explore their consciousness and to develop more. But there are certain places where he threw out various warnings that he was sent for a particular reason. And one of his warnings was that the Earth, the species on Earth right now, on this particular Earth, this particular timeline, is at a critical stage, and it can go in many different directions. Biologically, we have many capabilities to be able to expand the consciousness within, to be able to utilize the biology of the human vehicle, but that if we didn't, there is a possibility that the human species would not endure, which does not mean that the souls that are inhabiting the human species would not endure. They would always endure, but that the humans on this particular planet at this particular time may not endure. And so it was a critical, we're at a critical time.
I totally agree with that. The reason why, because many people are talking about the 26,000 year cycles, you know, that, you know, every time we are coming to this culmination. And I actually came just recently across a book that says the sixth extinction. And if you watch the movie Matrix, which is one of my favorite ones, you know, they are all talking about, you know, about this stage where we are in a critical stage that, you know, we've been here already as a, how many times as a humanity, but we always collapsed.
Right. You know, consciousness, and there's been many different forms in which consciousness took over these many other civilizations. The mm-hmm. one we're currently in has taken, has apparently put together the idea that it wanted to take us as far as possible in terms of individuation, which required that we basically have amnesia coming in here and that we separate ourselves from source in order to individuate as identities and to develop things on a physical level. But and according, and I'm relying on the source, the Seth entity in this respect, and that is we've gone as far as we can go, and now it's time for the return, a return to an understanding that even though we have individuated, we also are connected with other consciousnesses on this planet, and that one of the reasons for the mass extinctions of species on this planet is not that they're gone for good. It's just the consciousnesses that took the form of those species no longer see it worthwhile to develop on this planet any longer and are pulling away. And so what looks like as physical extinctions from our perspective are actually consciousnesses that no longer wish to evolve within this planet. And so if this keeps going on, then, you know, clearly, you know, it puts the human species, the consciousness that took upon itself the human form, it jeopardizes that as well.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a pretty hard, you know, statement, you know, to digest, you know, that to recognize that, you know, that we can kind of extinct ourselves by not, you know, having the cooperation or working with the other species or even actually open our or increase our human consciousness.
Well, you know, the other thing to remember here is that it would be the extinction of the human. And this may be far off for many people. So it's the extinction of the human species on this particular planet during this timeline. And without going into too much esoteric stuff here, let me just say that there's multiple timelines. There's multiple probable realities. The human species exists on these others. But the one that we happen to be incarnated on as particular souls, this one's in jeopardy, which doesn't mean that your soul is going to get extinguished. You know, it's just going to have to find another venue if it still needs to evolve through physical incarnation. And so it will, you know, go somewhere else. I mean, it's the identity, the individual identity of each person on this planet will never get extinguished. it is eternal. I'm just saying that, you know, this is our kind of our
timeline.
Yeah, it's our project to decide on how, you know, we could develop our consciousness so much by being able to expand it now. We're given an opportunity. This is our chance, you know, and so we should make the best of it while we're here. And, you know, it's not to say that you don't expand once you leave here. You do. But, you know, anyone that decides to get born physically on this planet has an opportunity to make it a better place for others that also wish to incarnate here. And so this is our opportunity. It's really a chance for us to do something.
Well, when you're saying this is our opportunity, do you think, is this one of the reasons that we have so many souls right now on the planet Earth?
Yes.
That the population is over 7 billion?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there are a number that want to come here in order to have an impact and have a chance to have an impact. And again, you know, there are, you know, what are called hybrid souls that are souls that come from other systems that decide to incarnate on Earth as well to have an impact as well. I think it's well known in terms of the critical stage that this planet's at right now, and that there's help being given. Seth was sent here as a teacher to help. You know, it was the first time he ever taught in the Earth system. He taught in other systems. And I think there's been many teachers that have been coming over the last couple thousand years, and especially over the last few hundred. There's been a number of people coming here to try to help out this particular planet at this particular time.
Do you go for Michelle? Go for. I can. Do you think that, for instance, when you're talking, when you folks having customer talking with the psychic ones and talking with getting connected with the loved ones. Did you ever experience any particular message from the loved ones to people here on the planet? Do they have any specific message for you, or for us, not for you?
For humanity as a whole. No, the things that we've experienced have been very personal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On for myself personally, any readings that I've had or anything that I have given to people during Reiki sessions and things like that, they tend to be very, very personal. They're not on a broad scope. Seen that as well on the Voices Across the Veil as well. And Dennis wanted to say something on that.
You've just touched on something that we'll probably be making an announcement with in about a month.
I love it. See, so, I love it. I picked up.
which will deal with the planet as a whole. Yes.
And we'll leave you with that, just, you know, chomping at the bit.
Well, listen, folks, I told you, feel free to announce anything if you want. This is a great opportunity to let people know what you're planning, or if you have anything to announce, or books or seminars or anything, feel free to do it. So don't hesitate.
We do have a tremendous amount of things that are in various stages of development. And mm-hmm. What Dennis just mentioned, that we'll be dealing with, you know, the kind of planet as a whole information. We'll also be dealing on the level of seminars and teaching situations, where people can come together and learn together. And
But there will be special types of sessions where the big picture questions will receive responses.
Yes.
I love that. I love that, the idea, big picture.
So there's a lot coming down, like, you know. There's a tremendous amount of things, like I said, we have on our plates and we're moving forward with. And just stay tuned, as they say.
Well, is this actually also work what you two are doing, or is this something related to the other people who are helping you in the project?
This will be part of Voices Across the Veil.
It's okay. What, mm-hmm.
It's going to be a new type of session. That's the most I want to give right now.
Okay, not a problem.
Surprise.
But, I mean, if anybody wants to, stay updated with the information that is coming from Afterlife Data and Voices Across the Veil, please go to the Afterlife Data website or voicesacrosstheveil.com and sign up for our newsletter. We don't send a ton of them out. Usually it's maybe one a month, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. It depends on what we have to say. And that is where you will hear the information first for announcements. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter feed as well. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with us and follow us. But the best way is really through the newsletter.
Oh, nice. Okay. Also, I would also like to ask another different question, that the goal and evolution of consciousness of the historical period we are aware of. Is this anything that you folks would like to comment on it?
I'm not sure I'm clear on your question, Magdalena. I'm sorry.
These are the questions that, Dr. Dennis and I were communicating, and I picked up that says one the goal and evolution of the consciousness of the historical period.
Right. I mean, you know, if you go down to the individual level, that is individual souls that incarnate, each has a soul, you know, has a plan that they wish to expand upon in order to evolve. Each soul is part of a much larger entity. But if you take it, you know, a level above, and there's also a gestalt of consciousness, that is, consciousness overall has a goal in terms of what it wanted or what it would like to do or what it would like to explore in terms of this historical period. And originally, you know, when it started to use the human vehicle, people that were incarnating within the human vehicle were actually connected. I mean, they could speak with animals, they could be able to project their mind and know where water or food was located. But it decided that it also wanted to individuate. It wasn't when, at that time, humans were still considered themselves as part of everything. Okay, so that, you know, they were, the storms were friends with them, the trees were friends and everything. They wanted to individuate, to become somewhat separate. So consciousness took a very direct method of doing that, and that is by separating itself. And that's the whole Garden of Eden fairy tale. That's what it's really about, is that it decided to separate itself from paradise, so to speak, and become and go out into the world and to acquire its own knowledge and to learn how to manipulate energy on its own. In doing so, though, it lost track of its connection with Source and, focused on the physical development of things, you know. So you have the pyramids, the Empire State Building, the structures that have been built. And we've gone as far as we can, according to certain pieces of information that some are considered esoteric, others are just, you know, information that has come through maybe channeling or whatever. And, you know, now it's time to come back into an idea that we're connected with everything else, because we've gotten to the point now where we're actually starting to destroy the planet.
To the destruction, point of destruction, yes.
We're mining the planet, we're using up its resources. The planet is alive, okay? You know, Gaia is also a gestalt consciousness. And so, you know, at some point it's going to say, you know, it's not going to accept the human species anymore. And it'll just, you know, the human form of consciousness is going to have to go else go elsewhere in order to do its evolution. And I think that's the stage that we're at right now, that, you know, we've gone through a long period of, individuating. We each have individual identities that will never get extinguished, that keep getting created, and that we'll never lose those. But now it's time for the individual identities to realize that we're really not in a competitive environment. We're in a cooperative one. We're in a system. Okay, we need to work with the animals and the plants and, you know, the what we consider inanimate objects, but they're also alive, the mountains and everything that we work with, the oil, the gold, whatever, the minerals. And it's time now to realize that everything is truly alive, and it's time to come back together. We can still be individuals. We can still learn to create individual things, but to work together now. That's the choice, I think, that we've gotten to. And it's really depends. And, you know, again, we've gotten to a point now where the materialist philosophy of the last 300 years with science and that has gotten so strong that people are inculcated with a certain type of belief system right from, you know, grade school. And it's gotten to the point where a lot of people don't know what to believe anymore, whether there is a life after death or whether there is any kind of non-physical reality, whether the universe was created totally by accident through a happenstance Big Bang, you know. That's where we stand. And so I think, you know, what we're trying to do is to show that, you know, non-physical reality does exist. Others are doing the same thing. You know, whether it be information that comes through NDEs, whether, you know, law of attraction teachers are teaching that, you know, you create your reality by the way you think. You know, it's, you know, we're at this crossroads. It can go either way, you know, and right now it's going to be interesting to watch.
That's a very interesting guy. You're right about that, because, you know, I'm totally conscious of myself that, you know, we have I feel the split that we have two groups. One group is willing to cooperate and another group just doesn't give a damn thing about anything. Just move forward and just, you know, snowballs over everything. And my question would be actually to you, since you are MD in psychology, that what do you think, how much impact actually our brain, left and the right side of the brain, has about this here? Do you think that has any impact, left side of the brain and right side of the brain?
Yeah, I think there's different abilities for the left and the right side. The brain to me is a receiver-transmitter device used by the mind, which is outside of the physical body. And to me, it is like three parts. It's like the inner self, which is outside of time and space, and that's basically what's automating your breathing and your various processes. And then there's the subconscious that, you know, is used as a funnel to the conscious mind, which directs itself throughout the environment, using the brain, you know, using the heart, using your whole body. Your whole body is a thinking mechanism, so to speak. I don't like using the word mechanism, but, it's all alive, and it's you know, the cells even have intelligence and consciousness. So, you know, it's a means to be able to expand our ability to do things on this planet within a physical incarnation. The physical body is a wondrous thing, and it's something that consciousness utilizes to be able to continue creation, to continue to expand all that is. In terms of the left and the right, you know, between logical and non-logical thinking, yeah, sure. There's different functions. I think they work together, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in psychology that much anymore.
Well, since I'm actually... What's that?
It hasn't gone far enough. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, the reason why I like to kind of go to the, down to the basic and then go up to the top, the reason, because there are so many people who do not understand the information. And when we bombard them with this kind of absolutely high-tech information, they will say, oh, my God, you just lost me. So that's the one of the reason I kind of like to go down to the basic. And so some people who are new to this topic, you know, they will get a better chance to understand.
You know, Magdalena, I think one of the things that we're coming back to, which we've very much given away as a species, is our own sense of self and our own ability to be much more powerful. And I don't mean that in a very overbearing way, but to be more powerful from within.
Rather, you're right on that one.
Yeah, rather than, you know, allowing everybody else to tell you, you know, you should do this, you should do that, you can't accept that, you can't accept this, you know. I mean, you know, religion tells you how to behave, you know, your mother tells you how to behave,
your kids tell you how to behave, your husband tells you how to behave, or your partner.
But, you know, if you would start to look within and really truly open yourself up to looking within, you will find the answers. You know, the answers are not without. They are within.
I totally get it. Well, that's one of the reasons I am calling my show Conscious Start with Leo, because I am Leo myself. And that's exactly what my whole point is, to empower yourself, to know yourself before you can go actually in the world. Otherwise, yes, the world will chew you up.
Yeah. But you know what? We don't teach that to our children. Mm-hmm. We teach it in a very materialistic way, and it's not done very often. And I have to be careful because I do not want to generalize, because every teacher out there is going to get on my case because there are some amazing teachers out there. You know, my children have had some terrific teachers, but as a whole, the system does not teach compassion and to look within yourself. It's always, you know, here are the rules and regulations. Follow these things.
Yes. I totally hear you. Yeah, and I think this is where the shift in actually in the human development is coming right now, that people are reaching to the certain degree and they recognize everything what they did is just not bringing the harmonious outcome. And I think this is what I will kind of look like we were talking about, you know, the possible next step for the consciousness is that return to cooperation. And the number one is the cooperation with myself, to cooperation with my body, to a cooperation with my own cells and my consciousness, with my higher self, me and, you know, myself, you know, and then move forward.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there's many works suggest that the physical environment that you see every day is created 100% from within. And that basically that's a reflection of what you are, where you're at within yourself. And so if that's the case, then one needs to realize how important it is to think in a ways that you prefer. If you want your external reality to change, then you need to be extremely careful in what you believe and what you think, because those will reflect those beliefs and the ways that you think.
Detox your consciousness.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, if you look into alchemistry or magic or the law of attraction people, it's always the way, the focus thinking, how you think, what you think. What you think reflects your beliefs. What your beliefs will allow or not allow certain things into your consciousness. You know, like we were talking before about skeptics. Sure, if you don't believe that the non-physical exists at all, and you get on one of our voices across the veil, there's a chance that nothing will happen. Because they're going to experience what they expect to experience. and it's not the other way around. They're not, you know, there's not going to be any necessarily any surprises unless they're willing to be surprised. And many are not.
I was actually reading a few months ago that even they are proving right now in the scientific community is that if a certain scientists don't believe something is possible, it will just go over their, you know, consciousness, and it will not accept as a possibility, and they cannot see that. You know, it's not just in regular life. It's happening actually on even on that level.
Oh, sure. A lot of times, you know, the experiments will come out according to the expectations of the experimenter, and they don't really realize the effect they're actually having on their results. There's a number of instances where Dean Radin has, in his books, has really gone through and summarized a lot of that information. So I would suggest anyone to look up Dean Radin and look at some of his books.
What's the type of the? Can you recommend some of the books?
Oh God, I have to look them up.
Okay, because actually I was looking forward. Do you have any books you could recommend to people about actually the topic about the afterlife information?
Magdalena, we also have another associate. website that's laughing because he was about to say the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
It's called afterlifelibrary.com. And we have thousands of books that we've organized on that site that has to do with the afterlife and consciousness and religion and you know,
science.
All types of science and all kinds of different things. If, you know, there are a couple of pages where we ask some questions. We call them a personal guide and a beginner's guide for various topics. If you have a particular question and you don't know where to start with some of the books, please contact us through afterlifedata.com. We have a contact form there. And ask us your questions. We're very glad to answer them and have a conversation with you, anybody that is listening.
Is that, Michelle, on your website, folks?
Yes, on afterlife.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can click the contact link.
Afterlifelibrary.com, we launched in 2012.
So okay. That's awesome.
Close to 3,000 books on it.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. Because look, like I said, you know, when people are starting to research for something, then it's always good, you know, that they can go to the library or find, you know, information that can guide them further on this, path. I would actually ask you a different question. Are you actually working also with Akashic Records?
In what way?
In a way that, you know, they're talking about, you know, the Akashic Records hold the information about, you know, from the soul. So I don't know, is this something that you are also looking to kind of incorporate, or is this not in that frame?
Well, I mean, there's many different interpretations of what the Akashic Records are. In some cases, it's not necessarily the Akashic Records of some great library in the sky, but actually it's a gestalt consciousness that has experienced a lot of information that is available. For example, I know that, like with Edgar Cayce, there's been always
yes.
access to the Akashic Records. But and here I'm relying on Seth. According to him, actually Edgar Cayce was accessing what he calls a pyramid gestalt entity that was so alien that because of Edgar Cayce's belief systems, he couldn't really recognize it for what it actually was. If you go within, you know, yourself, you can get all the answers to just about anything, just because the entity that you're part of is also connected with other entities. And if you needed the information, there's ways of getting it and finding out and even going to those places to actually experience what it is you wish to find out about. So,
it's interesting that you asked this question because right on the heels of talking about Afterlife Library, because one of the questions that we ask and answer on Afterlife Library under the, I think it's the beginner questions.
See, thank you.
Is what are the Akashic Records? And what we do is we answer these questions to the best of our ability and knowledge, and then we also give you some recommended reading. And in terms of the Akashic Records, there's two books that we recommend. One of them is by Irvin Laszlo, Science and the Akashic Field, An Integral Theory of Everything. And I'll just read very briefly, presents the unifying world concept long sought by scientists, mystics, and sages, An Integral Theory of Everything. It explains how modern science has rediscovered the Akashic Field of perennial philosophy. And the new edition apparently updates ongoing scientific studies and things. So there's a lot of information in that book. And Lynn McTaggart also wrote a wonderful book called The Field, The Quest for the Secret Force of the Universe. And that has a tremendous amount of information in it that is related to this type of a question. So if anybody is interested in exploring more about the Akashic Records, the Akashic Field, or call it The Field, you know, people call it by many different names.
Mm-hmm. It's,
you know, those are two books that we could say would be good to start with.
Also in Dolores Cannon's books, there's a number of channeled information that has come through about certain areas that is trying to record as much information as possible regarding this physical universe and things that are going on and things that have happened that could be conceivably looked up. So, I'm not, you know, quite sure what to make of the Akashic Records, so to speak.
Oh, that's okay. Just a question.
Yeah.
And I think actually Dolores just passed away. Did you know that?
Yes, she did.
Yes, I feel so bad because she was a good medium. Yeah, I really liked her material.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did too.
Maybe she can come through and talk to you guys.
Yeah, I keep hoping.
You never.
She has another book coming out too, right? Isn't there
another one?
Yeah, there's another book that she had written that has not been published yet. That should be coming out, so it'll be very interesting to read that as well.
Yes. And also, I would actually, since we are on the Akashic Record, I would also tie maybe in about the past life regression. Is that actually something that would actually be also on the different path than what you folks doing, or is this something tied in?
No, actually, it ties in very nicely.
Okay. Just asking.
I've been regressed, have seen actually a couple of my past lives I've been aware of. So I'm going to let you talk about that one a little bit more. Go ahead, Dennis.
I had been doing the regression.
Yes.
So, we're extremely interested in that. And if there was a way that we could actually provide that on Voices Across the Veil, I'd love to be able to do that too.
It's something that we've questioned and are not sure whether or not it would be effective
to really do that correctly. It depends on whether you're talking about past life regression or between lives regression, because past life regression is a much shorter hypnosis session than a between life regression, which could take as long as 3 or 4 hours.
That's interesting.
Past life regression, that would be you gave us an idea, Magdalena. Maybe that's something we can what we were going to be announcing a month from now, but that's certainly maybe something we can announce 2 months from now.
Hey, listen, if life is infinite, then we are just kind of coming up with ideas.
We have so many plans and so many things that we are going to be doing. So, you know, I hope.
But I think, you know, this is also tying together, you know, because the more you're doing this kind of stuff, the more it opens your consciousness. And the more you open your consciousness, you create more possibilities. So it's just like this game of play.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we kind of look at, or at least I do, as a three-step process to get out of this reincarnational cycle. And the first one is really starting to recognize the fact that non-physical reality exists. And then after that, becoming conscious of the fact that physical reality is created from a mental environment. And then after that, you consciously start to manipulate, which some of the really good magicians have been able to do.
Okay, take me with you, because this is what I'm kind of struggling with too, with that. As like, I don't want to come back anymore. Come on, if I need to learn what I need to learn, give me now. So let's get done. So you see why I brought you folks here today.
You just want to wash your hands of it all, don't you?
No, because I'm sick and tired to constantly come back. You know, it's just like, okay, come on. I wanted to move forward.
Well, you are moving forward.
One of the, the ideas of, I mean, the reason that physical reality has been created is basically for new consciousnesses to learn how to manipulate energy. It's not like they come out becoming, super God beings when they come out of creation. They go through a whole evolutionary stage. I mean, if you read Michael Newton's books, even after you leave this physical incarnation, there are, classes that you're doing to manipulate energy, even in the non-physical. And so when you're here, and that's, I guess, one of the reasons that we're at a critical stage right now is because so few people are believing that it's actually possible. But the idea here is, one is, once you understand that you are an eternal being, that you are a non-physical being having a physical experience. The second thing is that once you become conscious of the fact that you are creating your reality, so that at least at that point you become aware of your belief systems and how you're thinking and what you're thinking, so that you're then aware of why the reality is the way it is for you right now. And then the third step, which gets you actually out of this incarnational cycle, is to actually start manipulating that energy, because we're actually here to learn how to do that. We're kind of like in an isolation booth. You know, we think that things get actually destroyed, but actually nothing really gets destroyed.
Yes.
But we're under this conception that we think that we're actually killing, when we're actually, going to war and we quote, kill another person, we actually think we're doing that, even though we're not. But once you become conscious of the fact that you're not, then that's when it actually stops. When you throw your gun down and you don't need to do it anymore because it's not serving any purpose.
I would like to clarify just really quickly.
Hey, guys, I really have to say we have just a few seconds. So, my God. And see, I'm so psyched that it's ending pretty amazing information here. So go give me a very quick, Michelle, what you want to say.
Well, actually, it's going to be a little bit more than a few seconds. So I'm going to leave it at that. And maybe at some point in the future, if we get together again, we can get a little bit more into this whole idea that we've just
started.
How would that be?
I would love to do that, folks. I would love to. Listen, do you want to come back in 4 weeks?
Sure, sounds good.
Yes, okay, because I have somebody for the next 2 weeks. But let's do this. Let's continue in 4 weeks, because this is a pretty amazing topic, and so we can continue that. Do you mind?
No, don't mind.
Be wonderful. Be a pleasure.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much. And then, we will hear from you folks in 2-4 weeks.
Okay, sounds great.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, and good night. And thanks for tuning in for the Conscious Thought with Leo. Until soon. Bye.